Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Please lift your hands and worship the Lord.
You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit, I know you are here in your glory, I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit, I know you are here, you are here. I know you are here, precious, precious Holy Spirit.
I know
here in your glory. I know you were here, precious Holy Spirit.
Come on, lift your hand.
I know you were here in your glory.
Come on, yeah.
I know you were here, precious Holy Spirit.
Come on, hey.
I know you were here. You are promised to bring me healing. I know you were here. Precious Holy Spirit, I know you are here, here in your power. I know you're here. Precious Holy Spirit,
come on.
Oh, I know you are here.
Come on.
Here. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here in your glory. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit.
Was leading the prayers, there was an angel of the presence that came into the building while she was leading the prayers before she called her up. And that angel came with coals of fire. Because there are certain altars that have gone dormant. Ministry is not a show. It's an overflow of intimacy. Please pay attention. There are altars that have gone obsolete and have become ashes. So the angel came to revive those altars. I want to ask the Lord now that that angel will anoint the people and the altars that he wants to rekindle.
I know you are here.
The angel will begin to walk now.
You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here to bring revival. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your glory.
Holy Spirit, I know you are here. You are here to bring revival. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. The hand of God will come upon some of you now. Is to kindle your altars. I know you are still preaching, but your altar has gone dormant. And so, ushers, this is your time. You are going to find for me the first 7 people that the Lord will put his hand upon. Because the time for revival has come. And so, Holy Spirit, now let that impartation begin. Touch! You are here to bring revival. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your glory. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. A sign, it's a token. Beyond those who are falling, many of you will step into encounters that will provoke hunger. Hunger that cannot be quenched because it's the dawn of a new era. The journey into intimacy and the journey into the presence have just begun for you. The movements of the waters of the Spirit, the stirrings of the water, it begins in your heart from tonight. Maria ba che sosare Eliado de Bacaria tana Maranda sabate Eliado de Suna Maranda cara Erina ha de conde vergate Anda cala do sabacai Alia establish government and territorial dominion. the capacity to influence things across the borders of this nation. Mantles that resonate beyond territorial limitation. Mantles that can pull down controlling forces and influences. Governments from the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Give you praise. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you can, pray in the Holy Ghost. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Father, have your way tonight. You have ordained tonight as a night of ordinations. And so we open our spirits. We release our faith. We look beyond man to receive that which you have to offer. There's a woman being anointed now. It's an avalanche. You are stepping into the office of the prophet, the seer anointed. You will proclaim righteousness, and your voice will travel to the ends of the earth. Precious name. As I'm sharing, the Lord will be ministering to people even while I'm talking. Please refuse to be distracted in the course of this meeting, because the presence of God have descended upon this place like a canopy. And as we journey in the world, men will attain different heights in the spirit where their encounters will be activated. So whatever happens to the person by your side, please refuse to be distracted. As much as you can, just try to help them so they are not injured. But the Holy Ghost is upon us. If you can, please be seated. I will share for just 30 minutes. It's a night of ordination. Many graces will be activated. Authority levels will increase. Visibility will be granted. Voices will emerge from this meeting tonight, because an apostolic mantle will fall on this place. My teaching tonight is not necessarily to establish details of the subject matter, because it will be difficult to do that in one session. I'm just trying to navigate to that energy level where God wants to release what He wants to release. Are you ready to receive? Yes. Are you expectant? Yes. There are many mountains in the realm of God. The way a spirit announces and enacts his government is to establish his dominion upon mountains. Every time a spirit wants to establish his dominion upon a people, he pedestals his influence upon high grounds. Because the mystery of dominion is tied to heights in the spirit. That's why you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So dominion will not be possible except as elevated platforms are generated in spirit that brings a clear-cut distinction between the ruling spirit and other spirits that exist in that territory. That is why the lesser is also blessed of the greater. Because heights are symbolic in the spirit. However, when you begin to walk with God, you will discover that there are different mountains in the realm of God. If you have been carried in the spirit before to Zion, you will see the mountains of gold. And there are different kinds of mountains that represent different order of dominion in the realm of God. In scripture, we were given little vents here and there to understand how the spirit of Elohim functions. And many times he summons his prophets to different mountains because there are different assignments and different responsibilities that are tied to the nature of their calling. So there is a Mount Sinai where the laws of God proceed from. And the operations of God that happens on Mount Sinai is not the same as the one that happens on Mount Horeb. The same prophet, but different order of legislation. Therefore, there is a requirement for different kinds of mountain. So when God wants to activate an ordination, he brings his prophet to Horeb. Because on the Mount of Horeb, the appearance of God is an appearance that brings empowerment to the prophet as an individual to activate his calling and his ordination. That is where the rod will become the hand of God. It's an operation that is tied to Horeb. But when God wants to give his laws to his people, there is another kind of mountain where the laws of God derive from. It is the Mount of Mount Sinai. So there are different mountains that symbolizes different order of government. And tonight we are looking at a mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. So it's important for us to understand what happens to us when we come to the Mountain of Transfiguration. Because when you come to Sinai, you will interact with the laws of God. When you come to Horeb, you will receive encounters that will activate your ordination. But when you come to the Mount of Transfiguration, what happens to you? Because the Mount of Transfiguration is a high mountain. Are we together? What happens when you come to the Mount of Transfiguration? I just want to show a few things. You know, we are out of time. When I checked the time, it was 7:30. I said, my God. I wanted to take you on a journey this evening. But you know, time itself is a body. Time is a body. But you see, it doesn't take God eternity to do that which is eternal. That's what Apostle Arume taught us. So I will share with us briefly. I may not have time to dig deep into it. But the Holy Ghost will bring us deeper understanding. Because while I'm talking, he will be doing his own business in your heart. Are we together? So when the Spirit wants to establish his government, he brings them into realities of mountains. So in Micah chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible said that on the last day, the house of God shall be upon the mountains of God. And God, they shall call unto men of every generation and say, let us go to the house of God that he may teach us his ways. He said, out of Zion proceeds the law. So the scepter of authority that will bring the nations of the world in the last day to the feet of the cross will proceed from Mount Zion. So without mountain, it is impossible to establish the dominion of his spirit. And Isaiah reiterated the same subject matter. In Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, he said, from the mountain of God proceeds the law. But you see, before the law of God will emerge from Mount Zion, we must visit the Mount of Transfiguration. Because it is not everyone that has the power to establish dominion. I told you there are different mountains. If you don't journey to the Mount of Transfiguration, you cannot do the business of Mount Zion. Because the business of Mount Zion is to bring the races and the nations of the world under the feet of the cross. But the man who can wield the scepter that comes from Mount Zion is a man that has journeyed to the Mount of Transfiguration. Because if he handles the mount, the scepter from the Mount of Zion, he may make a slave of a generation. The powers that he will wield, when that scepter is given to him, he may use that power, instead of bringing deliverance unto Jacob, he will enslave Jacob. So when he carries that mount, that power can command so much influence that the Bible said, all the nations of the world will say, let us go to the house of God. So a point will come when, because the man has handled the scepter that comes from Mount Zion, the whole of Zambia will bow at his feet. But if he has not gone to the Mount of Transfiguration, he will loot the banks of Zambia. Because he will think that that authority was given to him for self-aggrandizement. He will think that authority was given to him for self-preservation. So an influence that should bring deliverance to Zambia will become the reason why the man has estates in every part of the world. So the wealth that should advance the gospel of God will become a wealth that will preserve his name. Because he will think what God is doing is for him to build estates. He wouldn't understand that God wants to shift the gospel of the kingdom to the nations of the world. So if you have not journeyed to the Mount of Transfiguration, you cannot move to the Mount of Zion, where the scepter that regulates the influence of humankind across all generations can be wielded. That's why this subject is very important. And before I proceed, let me digress a little and let you know that we are in a strategic moment in the calendar of God. Every visitation of God has a minimum impact of affecting a generation. And so many times, God is brought under pressure when a generation have completed their task. Because when a generation completes her task, God will need to call his strong men back home. And when God begins to call his strong men, there is a vacuum in the spirit. That is a crisis of transition. The crisis of transition is that vacuums are created in the spirit. And if those vacuums are not occupied, the white beast will come in to wreck the heritage of God. So every time the dealings of God with a generation is complete and he begins to call his men back home, God comes under pressure. He begins to look for a new generation that can fill in the void that is generated because generals have returned. You know, he said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. The sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. He also said, upon Mount Zion, the spirit of just men is made perfect. So when just men have finished their course and they drop their mantles in the spirit, there is a vacancy. Because God, we need men who can wield those mantles. I was sharing with them in the morning and I said, before a generation qualifies to step into the shoes of the patriarchs that have run the race and have kept the faith and have finished the course and have fought a good fight, there is a credential that a generation must attain in order to wield scepters that were handled by hallowed men of old. Because there are certain scepters that the men who carry them walked in blazing holiness, so much so that even the angels of heaven will bear them witness that in the days of this man, they didn't bow to the iniquity of their generation. Men that the spirit of just men made perfect can bear witness that they ran their race, they kept their faith. When such men drop their mantles, who are the men that will have the power to wield those mantles? And if men don't rise to wield those mantles, there will be a vacuum in the spirit. That vacuum is what gives the devil an edge over a generation. So damage and havoc will be caused before men rise. In my nation, there is a man called Reinhard Bonnke. He won 79 million souls in 79 years. And there was never a record or a scandal that he touched a woman. There was never a record or a scandal that he touched money. When he comes for crusade grounds and they raise offering, he donates the offering back to the territory to help the church. And he ran it like that for 79 years. When he held his last crusade in Lagos, men traveled from more than 800 nations
just to come and look upon him stand on the altar for the last time. Because whenever Rehoboam stands on the altar, he's like a cherubim, glowing with holiness, glowing with the bodies of the Father, glowing with the wisdom of God, and demonstrating the excellencies and the powers of the Holy Spirit. A man that could manage both character and charisma without any extreme that was negative. Such a man had gone back to the Lord. Who can wield that mantle? Before such happens, there are three credentials that God must give. The first is an encounter. Because you don't step into the mantle of a man because you went to Bible school. Because there are things that are bigger than Bible schools. The encounter that made Moses was on the mountain. The canopy of glory that fell upon Moses must fall upon Joshua for Joshua to be able to wield the scepter of Moses. That's why many times when Moses ascends the mountain, he will call Joshua to sit at the foot of the mountain. Because the same encounter that ordained Moses is the encounter that will ordain Joshua. So a generation must pay the price to be positioned aright to receive the same encounter that the fathers of old encountered. A generation, in addition to those encounters, must go through the dealings that the fathers went through. So many times, before God qualifies you to step into a shoe, he will allow you to go through certain processes that will chisel your appetite and mortify them until you become pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So you will notice that the same things that happened to Elijah were the same things that happened to John. Because John will go in the spirit and power of Elijah, he must go through the dealings of Elijah. So even though he was the son of a priest, he had to live at the backside of the desert for many years. And finally, there are graces that God will release. I told them in the morning that encounters provoke dealings, and dealings release graces. Your generation is not going to be blessed just by your encounters. Your encounters will inspire them. Your dealings will educate them. But it is your grace that will bless them. So many times, before God qualifies a generation, he brings them encounters, he carries them through dealings, and he releases graces upon them so that vacuums can be covered in the spirit. And we are in a transition season again, where many generals are transiting to glory. So the likes of Yonggi Cho, the likes of Reinhard Bonnke, the likes of Billy Graham, all these men that labored and watched over the gates of God have journeyed to glory. God is running through the territory again to look for men. So every time there is an apostolic convergence like this, one of the things God does is that the Holy Ghost comes in again to look for the men that have the heart that he can fall upon. That's why when we come for meetings like this, we put our records in our pocket. Because we know God is checking. And the only place we know God checks is the heart of man. If your heart is calibrated, then he will fall upon you. And you see, he said an apostolic mantle will fall here tonight. I'll begin first of all by explaining the purpose of transfiguration. Because sometimes we just want to enjoy the ecstatic nature of spiritual realities. And there are certain men that when they step into the realm of the spirit, they suffer vision fixation. They are carried away by the things they see and they lose the essence of what is happening. So transfiguration is not just about the boisterous nature of the encounter. It's not just about the shining and the glowing of the skin. There are many things that are wired into that spiritual economy for your advantage. And when you know it, every time you step into a mountain of transfiguration, you begin to look out for those things. Because those things are the things that will make you relevant to your generation. Not just the beauty and the glory of the encounter. If it's all about the encounter, you become esoteric. You can't impact your generation. Once upon a time, I was in a room praying.
and my spirit came out of my body. And my spirit was flowing in the room. And I was conscious and I looked at myself. At first I was afraid. And I said to myself, am I dying? And I wanted to begin to beg God quickly because I said, what you sent me here to do, I've not done it. I don't want to go to eternity not having done my assignment on earth. Eternity is forever and ever. How can I go to eternity when I've not done what you sent me here to do? How will I be rewarded? I was contemplating all of these things in a moment, trying to beg the Lord, please don't let me go now. And suddenly, an ancient being came into the atmosphere. And when he stood, he began to speak. And his voice was like thunder. As he uttered his voice was like the sound of many waters. And when he was talking, the whole scriptures were opening. I could see the Bible opening and I could see the lightning entering me. It was many years later, the Holy Ghost made me realize it was Enoch that came to my room to teach me the secrets of God. It was from that day that I began to know spiritual things. Because what he was doing was that he was ordaining me to the fellowship of the mysteries. Men that will be granted access to the mysteries of God for a generation. It was from that encounter that I realized it's not everything you know you say. Because when you say certain things before the time, it will expose you to warfare and you'll be cut off. Because before revelation comes into this world, there are angels that are commissioned to guard over that revelation. If you utter it before its season, the principalities will be aware and they will kill you. So you have to wait, no matter how you feel like saying it. Because there are some places you go to, you want to say something so that they will know you are a spiritual man. If you want to talk, the Holy Ghost will grab you. Sometimes, even when you insist on saying it, you will lose utterance. So you will say everything you wanted to say, but people will look at you like this, they can't get it. The Holy Ghost will take utterance from it. Because the witness you are bringing into the world is not ready for it yet. So some people say certain things and it trigger warfare, their ministry end. They say it's heresy. The reason is because the body of Christ have not come into that season. But the dimension of Enoch is a dimension that is captured in its rapture. So in the body of the reality called Enoch, God gives you the mystery of the end of the age. So you can know things that will happen at the end of time. But it doesn't mean the body of Christ have entered into it. It's a collective body of knowledge that is accessed by the gate that Enoch watches over. I was excited that an ancient man spoke to me. But you say that's not the purpose of the encounter. The purpose of the encounter is that from today, you have been brought into the fellowship of the mystery. So you don't have the right to talk the way everybody else talks. And you cannot go to the altar to preach Bible just because you read the Bible. Before you preach, you must wait until the Holy Ghost moves. So there are times when I can preach one message for 3 months. Because I've not received utterance to speak another reality. So I will be preaching only that one message. I don't know whether people are blessed or not. But until utterance is granted, you can't preach what you read. Because you are not a preacher, you are a witness. So if I want to preach another message, I have to wait upon the Lord until another chapter is open. If that chapter is not open, I preach alignment for 1 year, 6 months. Until I go back to God again and they open another chapter, I don't have the right to preach. I can talk about wisdom. I can talk about leadership. I can talk about marriage. But I've not been granted access to all those things. Because the ones we teach, they are not in the Bible school. They are the oracles of God. So, if I don't tell you the purpose of transfiguration, and I begin to talk about transfiguration, some people start praying here to have an encounter so that their skin will begin to glow. The goal of transfiguration is not the glowing of the skin. Because when Moses' skin glowed, it darkened the understanding of Israel. Do you see? But when the skin of Jesus glowed, it opened the understanding of humankind. If you don't know the difference, you will pursue the wrong thing. The goal is not that you will shine. It's not that an angel will appear. Those things will happen. Even without me saying it, people will have encounters here before they go out from this hall. And some will go home and start having encounters for many days.
I told you yesterday that the ministry of the apostle is to establish government. Somebody called, read him out online and said she was healed of blood disease. We didn't pray for blood disease. But when that government comes, he addresses many things. Many people will have encounters, angelic encounters. Many people will step into angelic ministry from here. You will come to minister in your church and suddenly, as you just lift your hand, the power of God will begin to move. You won't know what is going on. You will just know things by the Spirit because you have partners, entourage will follow you into your meetings. It will happen even if we don't prophesy. But the goal is not the shining of the skin. It's not the kind of angel that appeared to you. You need to understand what is the purpose of transfiguration. And the first purpose of transfiguration is to reveal to you the highest will of God for your life. You can be walking on the face of the earth because revelation is progressive. There are many things that will be the will of God for your life. But it's a build up. There is one that is the chiefest will of God for your life. If you don't have this kind of transfiguration encounter, you may never know it. And you'll be doing a lot of things and assume that you are making impact. That everybody know you does not mean you are making impact. And that you are everywhere does not mean you are making impact. I told them the story of Kenneth Hagin. His friends, Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne, were traveling all around the world. If Kenneth Hagin didn't know the chiefest will of God for his life, he would have stepped out of his calling. Him too, he would have wanted to travel. When he see people packed out in stadia and cripples were walking and men were clapping, when they entered into nations and presidents received them, or Kenneth Hagin would have desired it. Me too, I want a president to welcome me. Me too, I want to come to a stadium where 30,000 people gather. And as I'm entering on a white suit, everybody begins to clap out. But that was not part of God's ordination for his life. It takes transfiguration encounter for you to find the original purpose of God for your life. And if you don't have it, there will be competition. There will be contention. There will be battles. There will be backbiting. When you see the body of Christ today, the reason we fight ourselves is because very few people have isolated the will of God for their lives. So when they see somebody else prospering, they think that's the way to go. Somebody begins to preach the message of prosperity, and because his church doubled in 1 week, all of them begin to preach prosperity. Somebody begins to travel around. Everybody wants to travel around. So there is evil in the heart of men because they don't understand the chiefest will of God for their life. And the reason is because they've not had transfigurational encounter. You can be in one location praying with three people and God tells you your goal is to keep the gate of Zambia. And the only way you will do it is to be hidden on the altar. Your friend can be traveling to fight nations in 3 months. It doesn't affect you in one way. He's running on his lane, you are running on your lane. But for you to step into that kind of rest, there is an encounter you will have that will show you that there is no cause for alarm. I am not willing. I may have done this thing for 10 years, we are 5. Nobody knows me, but in heaven my voice is thunder because I'm a watcher. It takes transfigurational encounter to know it. Two people may have churches. One of them may be to raise ministers and to send them. Another may be to disciple men. So you have your church. Every time somebody matures, he has a vision to leave. If you don't know that God called you to raise ministers, when they are about to leave, you start fighting them. Instead of fulfilling your calling, you will become a witch, practicing witchcraft. The reason is because there's no transfigurational encounter. But if you know that your job is to mentor and to coach ministers in the body of Christ, when they mature, even if they are not yet aware, you will call them and say, your job is not to remain here. Go out. It takes such encounters to know the blueprint of your destiny. And when you know, you come into rest. You come into rest. You are not intimidated by somebody else's progress. His progress does not cast a shadow on you. You know you are doing what God wants you to do. It takes transfigurational encounter to know it. Let me show you the life of Jesus. The Bible said that for this cause, 1 John 3:8, the Son of Man came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus himself came in Luke 4:18 and he began to read out how he would destroy the works of the devil. He said to unstop deaf ears, to open blind eyes, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to open prison doors to the captive. So he knew. And because of that, Jesus was walking day and night healing the sick. But that was not the chiefest purpose of his calling. Even though healing was part of his calling, it was not the chiefest purpose of his calling. If Jesus didn't have a transfigurational encounter, he would have ended up a healer. And he would not have fulfilled his destiny. Hope you know, healing provokes multitude and crowd. A point came, they wanted to make him a king because he points at cancer. Cancer falls. He points at blindness, he opens. Deaf ears open. But it takes a transfigurational encounter to know that beyond healing, there is a higher calling. So you will not peg around a mountain for the rest of your ministry. A point came, Jesus was raising the dead. But he knew that beyond raising the dead, there was a calling. A point came, Jesus was preaching from one city to the other. In Mark 1:38, he said, "Let us go to the next city for me to preach. For this cause came I into the world." So Jesus knew that part of his calling was to preach. So he was preaching from city to city. But he took a transfigurational encounter for him to know that the priority was not healing the sick. The priority was not raising the dead. The priority was not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The priority was for him to die on the cross for humankind. So in Luke 9:28 and 29, Matthew 17 verse 2 and 3, he says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistered. And he said, they appeared unto him Moses and Elijah, and they spoke to him what he must do in Jerusalem. That's why in John chapter 4, he said Jesus must pass through Samaria to go to Jerusalem. When they were trying to stop him because he had prophesied in Samaria before, he said no, his faith was unto Jerusalem. The people persuaded him until he refused, and they got angry and started insulting him. And John and James said, we will call fire to burn these people. He said, you don't know the kind of spirit you are. I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know about you. Because he must die. Death was not pleasant or palatable. When you come to a city and people are clapping for you, how do you compare that with going to die on the cross? The death of a criminal, but a transfigurational encounter has revealed to him that in dying, he would have healed the sick. In dying, he would have raised the dead. In dying, he would have preached the gospel. So the one dimension of his call that covered every other dimension was captured on transfiguration. One dimension of grace that just manifested in their lives. Because God opens your eyes and you begin to prophesy. Everything about your ministry is the prophetic. And you are prophesying for 2 years. Everybody in the church is a babe. You don't know that ministry is beyond prophesying. And you become a major prophet. 10,000 people gather around you, but there are 10,000 babes. When God is looking for men to send, he can't find anyone. Among your pastorate, they are sleeping with themselves. They can't even take offering, because if 5 people are not watching, the offering will be gone. And you are a major prophet. No, you are a pampas prophet. You don't know ministry. When Jesus did ministry, he raised 500 men. When he left, the only one that fell was called the son of perdition. And the Bible said that the scripture should be fulfilled. And when Judas fell, they picked 2 people. 2 of them have stature enough to fulfill that place. They had to cast lot. And the one the Lord fell upon was as powerful as Peter. How did he do it? Because the goal of ministry is to raise all men to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. It's not about prophesying. It's not about healing the sick. You will prophesy, you will heal the sick. But at the end of the day, everybody must become a reflection of the person of Christ. That's when you have started doing ministry. It's not about traveling. It's not about packing stadiums. At the end of the day, how many Christ can you raise?
Aliyah,
The Lord told me, He said, don't be carried away because I'm opening door for you to travel. He said, I'm preparing you for ministry. This is not the ministry. Don't be carried away that people are singing your name. You will vanish like the mist. Because when you leave this world, the memorial that will remain forever are the men that can stand to bring witness to Zion. They are the men that their lives will become flags that will represent dimensions of the kingdom. They are the men that can stand and become like theaters through which Christ can be seen. So any man that touches somebody that has worked with you, you will touch Christ. That's when you have done ministry. When you leave this world, even if it's a shoe they pick in your house, that shoe can provoke encounter. Because everything about you will carry measures of God. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. The second thing about transfigurational encounters is to furnish the powers of your ordination. You will be an orator unless those things happen to you. You will be a singer unless those things happen. The power that can isolate your destiny and your ordination in God, it's on this mountain that is given. That's why two things happen here. First is divine validation. This is my beloved son. A son is one that can establish government. He said, God who has 100 times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken unto us by his son. By his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. The power to furnish your destiny is on the mountain of encounter. Because that is where God calls you a son. And it doesn't stop there. He says, hear ye him. Hear ye him. You can be a good teacher, but the heart of man will be locked. A fornicator will listen to you and clap and say, preach on. But the controlling force that keeps her in fornication, you can't break it. A thief will hear you and say, preach on, sir. And you will think you are preaching. You will add rhetorics to your message, but it will remain a thief there. The only thing that permeates the heart of man, the power to break controlling influence so that your ministry can lead the heart of men, is when he thunders from heaven and says, hear ye him. It is beyond the baptismal service where he announces you to the world. God can announce you to the nation, but he has not given the commandment for men to hear you. That's where your territory can open to you, and you can come to church and you will judge the powers of immorality in the land. You can judge the powers of corruption in the land. You can stand up, and because you rose in Zambia, the powers of witchcraft can go down. He says, Shamgar rose up as a judge. A man can rise until there is a transfiguration encounter. He said, in those days, Deborah rose as a judge over Israel. We don't have men who can break through controlling powers and bring legislation over territory, because there are no transformational encounters. They have experiences. They have stories to tell. They know strategy and excellence. But in the spirit, there is no commandment. Hear ye him. So when they speak,
The demons cross their legs and laugh. Men can clap for you, but we know you don't have authority in this realm. There is no obligation we have to hear you.
He said, open the gates that the King of Glory will come in.
He said, who is the King of Glory? Who is talking?
We want to find out the one bringing that proclamation. Is there a commandment on your life? Hear ye him.
You don't change your world because you are a good preacher. You don't change your world because you are gifted. You change your world because you receive the powers of your destiny. Where the spirit of Elohim thunders upon your life and say, hear ye him. Hear ye her. If that spirit says it, you don't need to preach many messages. Billy Graham preached only one message in 67 years. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No miracle. But he shut his word down. Because it's not about the many messages. It's about the texture of the witness that you can bring. Because the powers of your ordination have been isolated. That's why you see people clamoring for titles. Everybody wants to be prophet. Everybody wants to be apostle. Everybody wants to be bishop. Titles don't preach the gospel. The power to cause change is not in a title. It's in the man that stands in the office. Hear ye him is the verdict of men that have gone to the mountain of transfiguration. And it doesn't matter if you are a bishop. The Bible says women receive their dead back to life. That's when a widow can be more powerful and territorially relevant than a bishop. She may not have a cathedral, but in the spirit, the princes of the land, they know her voice. When she stands up at night and says, Father, all the demons go back to their hiding place. Because that one speaking is of the nobles. We have too many people who have not been transfigured. That's why there are many messages, many churches, many preachers, but nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Somebody will be provoked and say, I will not be an ordinary man. My God. When that elder made me know that I was of the lineage of Enoch, I said, in my day, men will know that this one is a man of God. Because when I talk, eternity will hit you. And my ministry will not end until I journey past the normal threshold of intimacy. In my flesh, I will walk with God until I will stand with the angels of heaven. I will walk with God until I participate in council meetings in heaven. I will walk with God until a point will come when I will not preach just because the Holy Ghost inspired me. Like John, I will send messages to churches from heaven, from the throne room. That's when I will talk to nations. You are mighty on your throne. You see, somebody is receiving a hunger. As I'm talking now, there's a spirit wooing you, saying, come deeper, come deeper, come deeper. The hand of God is coming upon you heavy, 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 heavy. It's provoking hunger, hunger. You're about to become a creature of the altar. A creature of the altar. You will hold to the horns of the altar. And like James, they will say your knees like the knee of a camel. Because you will be there for days. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. You know, when you come to this mountain, you don't only bring a message to your generation, you become a testimony. That's why I said in Obadiah 1:21, it says, Savior shall arise from Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Israel. You will not only preach a message, yourself will become the message. You see, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach, he was not just a rabbi, he was a witness. That's when we can bring deliverance. The preacher becomes one with his preaching. You don't preach one and leave another. You become one with your message. The gap between your life and what you represent will be bridged. That's when you can bring deliverance. I will stop here. The third thing that this kind of encounter does for you is that it prepares you for eternal reward.
Elohim Adonai. To become another preacher in Zambia. Zambia is in need of witnesses. Be one. The goal is not how many churches you oversee. The goal is the texture of your witness. There are three things about eternal reward. The first thing is responsibility. The second thing is a place, and the third thing is an experience. Eternal reward, the summary of eternal reward is experience. And if you study life carefully, you will discover that the only thing man pursues is experience. The reason he's looking for money is to have an experience. The reason he's looking for power is to have an experience. The reason he wants to be the best is to have an experience. Experience is a flavor that God puts into life that gives meaning and essence to existence. So in eternal reward, what God does for you is that it allows you to live in the realm of the experience of God. You see, the rich don't pursue what the poor pursue. The poor pursue cars, good house, to dress well. The rich have left that level. They know there is nothing in a car. They have companies that make cars. What the rich is looking for, one, is access. Access. He wants to be able to enter anywhere, command anybody's attention at any time. So why a poor man is looking for a car, his first 1 million, he buys a black Mercedes, and he's driving in the Mercedes, he feels he has arrived. The rich man has left that level. The rich man wants to come to Zambia and call the president. He wants to call the chief of justice. He wants to call the person in charge of the military. Any day, any time, he wants to be able to access anybody because he knows access is superior to material possession. The second thing a rich man is looking for is influence. Is to be able to sit in one location and change teams everywhere. So because he doesn't want football to be played in the stadium today, he wants to have his birthday there, they will suspend the football. Influence. He wants to determine what sells and what doesn't sell in the market. What he pursues is beyond material things. Even in the natural, they know things that are superior to materiality. They know access is superior to materiality. The poor abuses access, but the rich treasures it. That's why a poor man doesn't value relationships. He looks at you today, you have 1,000 kwacha. He runs with it and spends it. After 1 week, he has burnt this bridge. But the rich man will leave you with the money. Because tomorrow, he knows what you will do for him is more than that money. Access. Influence. Why the poor man is looking for a job, the rich man is looking for time. So he pays money to buy time. Because time affords him the opportunity to think and to control the world. But the poor man doesn't value time. He wastes it. of these things give him a certain kind of experience. When he can call anybody, he makes him feel like a god. When he can change things, he makes him feel like a god. When he controls things, he makes him feel like a god. So at the end of the day, it's not even the access, the influence, the time that he pursues, is the experience he gives to him. So the greatest reward that humankind can receive are the texture and quality of experiences they have. So even the same applies in heaven. When a man comes to the mountain of transfiguration, first, what happens to him is that he looks away from himself and he finds out what God will have him do. He starts taking responsibility. The reason is because that responsibility prepares him for a high place in Zion. So James and John, they came to Jesus by their mother and say, allow us to seat one person at your left and the other person at your right in your kingdom. They know that places are superior to gifts. So while others are struggling to have a gift, they want to sit with God in eternal dominion. Give us a place. So Jesus told them, can you drink of the baptism of suffering that I will drink? They say, yes, we will. Jesus still said, even at that, it is given only of my Father to whomever he chooses. That means in this kingdom, places are very important. So when a man attains the mountain of transfiguration, he stops looking at self, temporary aggrandizement. Instead of doing ministry and have men clap for me, and because of the applause of men, I lose my place in Zion. Nobody should clap for me. So that when I finish my course, I will ascend my throne in eternity. So when you see certain men living a certain kind of life, they have seen certain things on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what Peter said. He said, we saw him transfigured before us. And he said, when we take off this earthly tabernacle, we want you to know that we have a more sure word of prophecy. I have seen something that is more important to me than life. I have seen being transfigured. And I know that if I follow him to the end, where he goes, there will I go to. So the pursuit of eternal place becomes superior to earthly aggrandizement. That's why the man can leave dollars and still have integrity. Nobody should tell you that because you refuse to take bribe, you'll be rich. It won't make you rich. It takes smart work to be rich. But when you refuse to take bribe, your integrity will be intact. That your integrity will procure for you a place in Zion. You refuse to bow to the status quo like everybody. It doesn't mean because of that, God will bless you with money. No. There is a different law that governs wealth creation. There are covenants that govern wealth creation. But because you refuse to bow to the status quo, you have procured yourself a place in eternity. Now, it is only in transfiguration that you will see through time and know that this world does not end here. It doesn't end here. So, you become like Esther. If I perish, I perish. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You no longer bend your standards because of temporary things. Even if there is no promise attached to it, I will be right. That's what the three Hebrew boys said. O King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow. Why? Because they know that if they don't bow, there is such a place called the crown of life. It takes transfiguration for you to see into eternity. And when you see to eternity, no matter how hard kingdom responsibility is, you will bear it. As I am now, I don't need a pastor to encourage me. If I'm walking in this church, if you like, insult me. I will do the work even more diligently. Because it's not about you, it's about the place. When we move day and night, people look at us. See, most of the places I go to preach for, I don't take honorarium. There are many doors that we didn't enter because God still sent us to the youth. There are many things we can do now we don't do because we have seen a place in Zion. So when we travel day and night as if we are dying, it's because we have seen a place. Sometimes some people look at you and say, don't come and kill yourself. One of the most honorable ways to die is to die as a gallant soldier. You rather die in battle than to die on your bed. You have seen a place. And then when you ascend that place gives you an experience of God. We will not all experience God the same way in eternity. There are those who will be far away. There are certain people that will never even see God in the whole of eternity. The way they heard about God in time, even in eternity, that's how they will hear about God. They will never see Him. Meanwhile, there are those who will not only see God in time, even in eternity, they will be in Zion with Him. Because they will be in the New Jerusalem. Others will be in the nations. And they will take the leaves of the New Jerusalem and bring to them for healing. But there are those who will live with Christ forever and ever in intimacy for eternity. What those people will experience, not every other person will. So when you come to the Mount of Transfiguration, you see something eternal that nothing on earth can buy. So when you begin to leave, you will appear like a fool. But it's because you have seen something. You will take a responsibility that is not an advantage. It's because the place you are going to, that is the pathway. For example, for Jesus, the Bible said that God wanted to give him a name that is above every other name. But the only way to arrive there is to follow the path of the cross. So even though he came to Gethsemane and it was difficult, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But the only way to come to a place where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess is to go through the cross. So even though he went to Gethsemane, Gethsemane didn't change it. Because if Gethsemane changes it, then you will need another Jesus to save you. So because of that place, even though the path was narrow, he went through. Somebody here, the path of your life may be narrow, but you will see from time into eternity. And because you will see it, no man can pay you. You will never have a price because you have seen the glories of eternity. And when you eventually arrive at that place, there is an experience of God that awaits you. Nothing can buy it. If you can taste of God for a second, you will discover the true vanity of life. That's why the men that tasted, Peter said, don't crucify me facing upward. I'm not worthy to be crucified facing upward. Crucify me and face me down. While others are running to survive, this guy saw something. 12 of them, not one, changed his confession. One of the greatest and potent testimony that Jesus rose today is because all the disciples were tortured. No one denied him. Why were they so resolute? Because they saw something and they tasted of something. That's why the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is an eternal taste that will be afforded you if you come to the Mount of Transfiguration and you accept the responsibility that God puts upon you, whether palatable or not palatable. There is a place that awaits you if you walk through that responsibility, and there is an experience ultimately that you will step into that cannot be bought with money. You will thank your God for eternity that you were beheaded for the gospel. You will thank your God for eternity that you gave your money for the gospel. You will thank your God for eternity that men insulted and accused you for the gospel. You will thank your God for eternity that you lost everything for the gospel. That's what Paul found. And he said, I count all things as dung. The Bible says, some, even though they were promised deliverance, they rejected it, that they may have a better resurrection. They have seen something from eternity. It is on the Mount of Transfiguration that they will find it. The reason our generation have double standards is because very few have been transfigured. So today they say yes, tomorrow they say no. Because when they said yes, or when they said no, it was $1,000. When they changed it to $1,000,000, they thought of the Lamborghini. They thought of the island in Bahamas. Some even think about the cathedral they will build, and they will take stolen money and build cathedral. They don't have any intention for God. They just want to feel like bishops and say hallelujah. Ah, hey.
Why do we preach like this? Because we are in a transition period. You know the danger of a transition period? If you miss it, it may take another generation and you don't have the advantage of time. Maybe you are 20 years old now. Maybe you are 30. If you miss the transition period, maybe the next time the window will open again, it will take 40 years. A generation will pass because all the generals would have taken their places. So even though you came back later, there's no place. And in the next 40 years, you will be 70 years old. So even though you have zeal, you are no longer needed. Because that will become the heritage of another generation. That's why we preach like this. That if it takes leaving your comfort zone, you will pay the price to leave it. If it takes praying all night, even though it's not easy, you will pray because you know it is a transition zone that grace is rest on men. It's a transition season that mantles fall on men. So we teach the horse the gospel in a raw and corrosive state so that men will know that even if it costs them their lives, it's a worthy bargain. There were many things I loved to do. I was taught death by the Holy Ghost. Because when he came, he started teaching me the protocol of entering the mountain of transfiguration. And he said the first protocol is to die. Only dead men can walk that path. The flesh must be decimated. Because when you start joining that mountain, there are many cliffs that you will climb. Like Moses was ascending Mount Sinai. Sinai is over 6,000 feet tall. You can't climb Sinai with distraction. If a bag is heavy, you will let it go. Because a point will come, even your hand will become heavy. When you reach 3,000 feet, everything will become heavy. You may even need to take off your clothes because your clothes will become heavy. Hope you know when athletes want to run for long, the only thing they wear is pants. Because you can't wear a burden and run. When you start running, it will become a burden. So when you start climbing, everything that can attach itself to your flesh will become a weight. And it will put aside every weight that doth easily beset you. Because the race is onto a mountain. And the only way to lay off everything is to die. And so many times the Holy Ghost will come. He will point at the money you love so much. And he will tell you to give for 1 year like a madman. He's teaching you how to die to the appetite of wealth. And when you give to a point where money doesn't mean anything to you again, he has dealt with it. Some is men that have six pack with huge shoulders. And when they see them in a suit, they, hey, Jesus. Then the Holy Ghost will tell you, you will marry a lanky man. Because every day you look upon him, you will know the love that is sacrificed. The kind of love that doesn't resonate on emotion. Because if your emotion is allowed to go haywire, you will not fulfill destiny. And they will carry you through that path. And you will walk that path until a day will come, you will die to six pack and broad shoulder. And then you will find out a man who can take you to your destiny. And your husband will wake up in the morning and say, let us pray in the Holy Ghost. That's when you will know some people have six pack in the spirit. Because while the other one dreams in the natural, there are those who dream in the spirit. It's when they pray for 6 hours that they are exercised. After 6 hours, your husband may wake up in the morning and say, let's go on 40 days fasting. You will say, sorry, excuse me, what do you mean? That's how he generates his pack in the spirit. And in the spirit, there is no male or female. So even you too, you need his pack. Because of the weight of your destiny. And at the end of the day you will be 70 years old, you will discover that six pack was not a priority. It was a distraction. Because at that time, even muscle will become a weight. You and your husband will be looking for stick to support yourself. You will not need a six pack anymore. You will need men that can find the atmosphere of Zion.
And the day you will leave this world, when the angels come to take you home, when you look up, you will thank Jesus that you married that woman, that you married that man. Because when you go home, you will go home by the wind of the Spirit. And the angels will usher you to the presence. When you look back into earth in eternity, you will know that the way of man is full of folly. It's a journey. When you begin to die, then the Holy Ghost brings the second protocol. The second protocol is the renewing of the mind. That's when the Holy Ghost will bring the word of God alive. You read Bible before to preach, but now you'll discover the goal is not preaching. So you may sit on John 3:16 for 3 months. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the first 1 month, the Holy Ghost will come and tell you the meaning of agape. So you will go to the office, men will offend you. You have the power to crush them. When you want to crush them, then you will say, for God so loved the world. You will know that there are places where the Bible is taught beyond Bible school. The greatest places where you learn scripture is in the midst of circumstance. Your wife will offend you. You want to, you say, for God so loved the world. There is a love that overlooks offense. There's a love that has a space to accommodate offense. So you will know that one verse of scripture can be as deep as eternity. For God so loved the world. Somebody is in crisis. You say, no, the little I have, I want to keep for me and my children. He said, for God so loved the world. The burden of that brother is the burden of God, so it's your burden. So in that one scripture, you will see the body of Christ as one. He will use that one scripture to teach you that church A is not different from church B. That both church A and church B is one family in Zion. So there is no need to fight your brother, because for God so loved the world. After another month, the Holy Ghost will come and say, whoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Then you will now discover that your source is not your salary. Your source is not human connection. There is a bank in heaven that supplies your need. Because the one you serve, his name is called El Shaddai. So when God says, give your last, it's no longer sacrifice. You know that if you give your last, where you receive from doesn't go dry. That's what Abraham knew. He said he knew that if he gave up Isaac, God was able to raise him back in a figure. It is the same scripture. For God so loved the world. One scripture can keep you for 1 year. Because this time, you are not studying the Bible to preach. You are studying the Bible to become like him. And that's where your mind will be renewed. They taught you before that in Zambia, women cannot talk when their husband is talking. But this time around, you discover that what your wife is saying is the superior idea. And if you follow this, if you take your family to the next level, you will now bottle your pride, keep it by the side, and say it's about our children, it's about our family. You will learn the way of renewal of mind beyond the advice that men gave you. The scriptures will come alive. Every verse of scripture will become like a trumpet. And sometimes you will be asleep and God will wake up and say, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And you are wondering, what is going on here? And then God will remind you that you have kept malice for 1 year. And he said, that malice has darkened your heart. Because your heart is darkened, you can be part of those who will command the army of God. Scriptures will come alive. And every day you will walk with the Holy Scripture, because they will become the sounds and the readings of heaven to your spirit man. When transformation begins to take place, then God energizes you for ascension. Because the mountain is not a low ground. It's a high place in the spirit. And there are vehicles of ascension. One of the vehicles of ascension is the sacrifice of prayer. And suddenly, when men go to sleep, you will lie on the bed. You will roll, and sleep will not come. And then from somewhere in your spirit, you will hear, Kakabarakita. Lego deneshkibra akadu zalabate. It will be very weak. And you say, I'm tired. You will sleep. The next day, you will go back to bed.
You will roll. You will not be able to sleep. And you will hear, Vana Nekido Baragata. And one day you will tell yourself, this tongue, let me give it some muscle. And when you start praying, Lima Kane. Herulava Kududu Ebule Nakai Unanakada Rakakaka Balabakuda Kadayata Lima Mama. And then when you start praying, you now become afraid. And everywhere is quiet. And then the Lord will teach you the dimension of the eagle. That the eagle can pierce through the dark cloud. The eagle can go above the skies and soar upon the wind. So you will begin to pierce Malakada, Burada, Hendiata, Menula Kadika, Inda Dalakado, Moronia Tadila Kadakada, Inda Romo Sabranda Kade, Hindinaya. And then as you are traveling, you will hit some gallop, territorial spirits. And then you won't know where the utterance will come. I judge, I judge, I command, I address. What you are doing is that you are clearing the airways. And a point will come when you will create an open heaven. Every night, you don't need to go and wait for the tongues again. When men go to sleep, that's when you go to ascend. That's when you go to ascend. So when men are waking up in the morning, you are coming from Zion. You are no longer a citizen of Zambia. Thank God for Zambians. But you see, I'm no longer a citizen of Zambia. When you come as the embassy of Jesus. Because you have traveled somewhere. The mountains of God. That's why in Psalm 24 it says, who shall ascend the mountain of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hill? He said, him that is with a pure heart. That's why you need renewal of mind. Who has not lifted up his heart in vanity? Whose hands are pure? And when you reach the mountain, then what Psalm 24 verse 6 said will become your life. He said, this is the generation that seeks the Lord. The generation of Jacob. They that seek the Lord. Nothing you pursue anymore. It's only God. It's only God. It's only God. It's only God. If they wake you up in the morning, God. Evening, God. Only God. Only God. And a point will come when men begin to look for God. You become God's address. They say if you want to find the counsel of God, there is a man called Samuel. You can travel and locate Samuel. And before you came, because Samuel is God's address, yesterday evening God told him you were coming. Nothing takes you unaware anymore because you have been transfigured. And tonight, there is a cloud. There is a cloud. Ah, hey, hey, hey.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.